This is Messenger Insight, a podcast program brought to you by Oklahoma Baptist and the Baptist Messenger.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this special podcast episode. I'm Brian Hobbs, your host, joined with co-host Doug Matlock, who serves here on staff with Oklahoma Baptist. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Brian. It's good to be here.
Well, today we have a special guest. We'll be talking to Matt Willis, who is an author and a missions pastor. And if you've heard the last name Willis, and know of Avery Willis, this podcast will be extra special today. So, Matt, welcome to the podcast as well.
Thanks. Glad to be with you guys today.
Now, tell us your family connection. For Oklahoma Baptist, very familiar with Avery. Tell us that connection there.
Yeah, so it actually began with his dad, who was Avery Willis Sr., who had been a pastor and church planter in multiple states, but he moved to take the pastorate at Hillcrest Baptist in Tulsa in 1952, right as my granddad, Avery Jr., was graduating high school. And so he went to Oklahoma Baptist University, and that ended up being me being a third generation OBU Bison. I grew up at Eastwood Baptist in Tulsa, and then First Baptist Broken Arrow. And then there's some other things as well, like I was an English minister at Oklahoma City Chinese Baptist Church for 3 years. I worked for OBU as their global outreach coordinator for a couple of years while getting my master's as well.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Well, anyone familiar with the Willis last name will think of Master Life, just the amount of lives have been discipled and impacted. Could you talk about that original curriculum as we get ready to talk about what we're going to be talking about today?
Yeah, his doctoral thesis ended up being published as Indonesian Revival, How 2 Million Came to Christ. So they were missionaries in Indonesia in the 1960s and 70s when 2 million people came to faith, which is every missionary's dream, but also presents a real challenge. Oh my goodness, how are we going to disciple 2 million people? And in that context, he wrote Master Life. When they moved back to the United States, he joined Lifeway staff, Baptist Sunday School Board at the time, and he wrote the material into English. It had already been into Indonesian Bahasa. So he wrote it into English. And in 1980 was when that was published in the States. And since then, hundreds of thousands of people have gone through it, translated in over 60 languages.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And Doug, you were one of the first to tell me about this new iteration. Do you mind talking about that a little, your first experience with Master Life together, and then we'll let Matt talk about it?
Yeah, well, I grew up not really knowing about Master Life. It just wasn't a part of our church culture growing up. And I didn't even really know much about Avery Willis either until I met Matt in 2002. And we can talk about that here in a little bit. But as Matt and I have just kept in contact over the years, and even I think we ran into each other in Anaheim at the National Convention, he was telling me about his work with revamping the old Master Life and revising it to bring it into more of a just a modern context. And he and his wife worked on it together. And so I said when I ran into him there, hey, as soon as you get it out, I want to read it. And I told him about my new role here at the convention in Oklahoma and how I recommend resources often to churches and church leaders. And so I was really excited to get to read it. So as soon as it was ready to be purchased, I got a copy and read through it. And I just loved it. I loved the progression of it. And we can get more into that in just a minute. But it's just a really great resource for any church to use who really it could be for a new believer or it could be for a seasoned believer, but it just really has a great approach to discipleship. And I think it's very holistic in its approach as well. And so my experience with it has been really great. I haven't had a chance to lead it yet in a group, but I'm really anxious to get to do that sometime in the future.
That's awesome. Yeah, y'all have been connected for some time. You might
explain
just a little bit of the first meeting or how you got connected.
Yeah, so in 2002, I was wrapping up my freshman year in college, and I was at East Central University in Ada, and through my BCM, had applied for summer missions. And when you apply for summer missions, you give your top three choices of where you wanted to go. And actually, the place that Matt and I ended up together in Southeast Asia was my second choice, and my first choice was Italy. So through the interview process, God directed the path and put me on a team with Matt and some other folks from around Oklahoma. And Matt and I were the only male students on that trip, so we roomed together, got to know each other really well. And it was just a great, we were there for about a month, and it was just a wonderful summer where it changed my life just from my own personal perspective, but getting to know Matt and having a friend in him. And in many ways, it was the summer of love because I had just begun dating my now wife, Courtney. And then, Matt, I'll let you talk more about you meeting Allison on the trip. But we just, we both kind of had this connection here where we, our relationships were taking off at the same time, and who, what would, you know, then become our wives, and just our families kind of started there. And so just having a great friend and a great brother in the gospel and getting to be connected all those years is very special. And even being here today, it's just, I'm just honored to be here with him and get to share his work with others here in our state.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, you probably have some funny stories from that.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, you probably have some funny mission stories together, but that's just so cool how God struck up the friendship and been on a parallel path there.
Yeah, likewise, Doug. I appreciate you so much. I'm thankful for our friendship and co-laboring in ministry these last few decades. Yeah, as Doug mentioned, one of the female members of our team, Allison, was from UCO in Edmond, and I was coming from OBU. And Allison and I now have been married for almost 20 years. But I do remember during the trip, I would like debrief interactions with Doug, you know, at night. I was like, I think there might be something here between me and Allison. What do you think? And he was like, yeah, I definitely think so. And so I was like, let's talk about this at the end of the mission trip, you know, and then we can talk more seriously. But, you know, there's nothing short term about that mission trip. One, from having, you know, met my wife, but also, you know, lives that were saved, you know, on that trip as well.
It was really on that trip that I feel like God used that to help me learn more about discipleship. Because up until that point, I'd been discipled in my youth group. Mm-hmm. I had been really involved in ministry, had felt called to ministry many years before that. But both Matt and I got to lead some folks to the Lord on that trip, these teachers that we were working with. And this was my first really experience in discipling someone who was more in their adult life. And I was really intimidated by that because we were far away from home. I didn't have any discipleship curriculum, but the IMB missionary we were working with was very emphatic in saying, you need to, the time that you have left with these guys, you need to spend discipling them. And I was like, I don't know what to do. And he goes, listen, just tell them what you know. Just take the Bible, you guys read it together, and go through what you know. And it was just this really freeing experience that discipleship just takes place whenever we intentionally are pouring into someone else. It doesn't have to be anything spectacular. It doesn't have to be something that you have to have this curriculum. It can be just as simple as sharing what God's done in your life with someone else. But it's so amazing that we do have great tools like Master Life together, which I think gives anyone who maybe is in that same position of like, I'm not really sure how to disciple someone. One thing I love about this is it's very easy to pick it up and take a group or take a person through it, and it gives you all the tools you need just within this one booklet.
That's awesome. Thanks for sharing that connection and the mission story. That's too cool. Well, hey, Matt, take a minute and talk about Master Life Together, even the name, why it's called what it is and what it's supposed to do, what it's designed to do, if you would.
Yeah, great. Glad to do that. So, you know, since the time of Doug and I get to meet each other and do ministry, my family served as missionaries in South Asia with the IMB, the International Mission Board, for 7 years before coming to Calvary Baptist Church from the missions pastor in Winston-Salem, North Carolina in 2016. And at the church, I was like Doug saying, I didn't really go through Master Life as a kid or a teen because, you know, it was just mostly for adults. And so as an adult, in my 30s, now all of a sudden I'm leading a small group of people through my grandfather's material of Master Life. And he passed away in 2010, but going through his material and making disciples, it was like he was still discipling me from heaven. I found it really interesting. Wow. Something he said before he passed away. He told me, the only direct ministry you're going to have after you pass away is what you've written down. And we got to write a book together called Learning to Soar that was published in 2009. And then with Master Life Together, I led a couple of groups with my wife through the material, and people have gone on and reproduced and made disciples. But there were some who said, I just feel like this is too long of a process. That is 28 weeks and so much depth of content, 4 workbooks of 6 weeks each. And I just don't know many people who are willing to commit that much. And my wife and I felt the need for a simplified update of Master Life. And so we asked LifeWay if they would be interested, and they said, yeah, it continues to be one of the most effective small group discipleship resources we have, but we haven't touched it since 1997. And so we'd love for you to do this, and we'd like to keep Master Life in the title so that people can realize there's a connection, because there are some illustrations we used from Master Life still in this one, but it's a shorter process. So it's 12 weeks of lessons instead of 24. And we do have a few extra weeks of experiential sessions we recommend that would make it a total of 18 weeks if people do it the way that we recommend, and we currently are leading groups through it. So
it's awesome.
Yeah, 12 weeks at a minimum, 18 weeks at a maximum of this process using Master Life together.
What are some of the main goals that someone could expect to achieve as they go through it or help someone through? What does that look like? What are some of the main contours of it?
Yeah, and I probably should have mentioned that the subtitle is A Discipleship Experience for Small Groups. And so I was discipled in a way that was thinking one-on-one discipleship is the best, and I think that is great. But having lived in Asia with community, society, collectively, I saw, wow, Jesus really made disciples in small groups. That was his primary way of making disciples. And so this material, I think, has this built-in accountability that you're actually held accountable to do something with it from the previous week, which unfortunately I think is missing in a lot of churches, is our, what we call discipleship is come and learn some more, come and learn some more, come and learn some more. And whether you do anything with that, it's up to you. We're not going to ask you about it next week. Where Master Life and Master Life Together says, here were the clear things we were going to do. Having your quiet time with some specific scriptures, and you share one of your conversations with God from the week. What did you say to God? What did God say to you? You share that in a small group, like you pair up. If a group has 10 people, you pair up into twos and you share that, plus the verse that you're supposed to memorize for the week. So you have those two things. And then when you come together for the group time, there's also some practical things that we do as well. So if someone doesn't have a daily time with the Lord, that's definitely a key purpose of this. It's also to help them grow in scripture memory, bring them outside of their box and do some new things. For example, one of the weeks on Christ-centered community, we have a foot washing, you know, the way that Christ told us three times in the Gospel of John to do, but a lot of Christians have never experienced that. So those are just some things that hopefully catalyze them for just a lifelong discipleship.
Well, one thing that I really appreciate about this study too is that when Matt talks about those daily times with the Lord, they use the word rhythm. They're trying to help you establish a rhythm. And I wanted to ask you, Matt, if that was part of the original curriculum, or did you guys develop that as you were making this revision?
That was something that we've just learned from mentors of ours. Yeah, the rhythm of divert daily, withdraw weekly, move out monthly, abandon annually. So yeah, that daily divert is the time with the Lord every day that we all need, you know, and then weekly withdraw, Sabbath, things like that.
Yeah, yeah. I think rhythms are great in discipleship because they allow for some flexibility where, you know, a routine tends to, you get in this mindset where you're like, well, I got to do this during this time of day for this long. And if I don't make that happen, then that can be very discouraging. But if you kind of think of this idea of following the Lord and having this time with God as a rhythm, you know, rhythms often change with seasons of life. And if you think of rhythm and music too, it can go up and down, but you still maintain that song. You're still moving forward. And I like that word rhythm and the idea of rhythm in discipleship because it gives you that flexibility to maybe put that into a different part of your day, or maybe there's a crazier day and you're still having time with God. It may just look a little different than it normally does, but you're still trying to maintain that even though something may come up. You don't feel defeated, or you don't feel like, oh, well, I just can't keep this up. You know, you have more of a, I think, just this passion to go forward and keep going.
Yeah, one of the practical ways we managed that was we give a scripture every day of the week, but we only give 5 days of lessons. And so, yeah, someone may have a crazy day and we don't want people to get behind, but if they are on top of it every single day in their rhythm, then it's like, okay, yeah, here's the scripture for day 6 and 7 that you could still be just having your conversation with God.
I like that. That's powerful. So, you know, we live in a day with a lot of resources and internet things. What do you feel like makes this especially a great tool or unique for churches out there that are looking to try something like this? They've heard about a lot of tools, but what do you feel like is especially essential and unique here?
Yeah, I think something unique about this material is that it's not just another book on discipleship, as important as those are. This is really a workbook, and through that interaction that people are doing with the Lord and with other believers, it has a clear process and a system for people to be really having the foundation in their discipleship. And so, like Doug said, for people who are newer in their faith, or maybe they've been a Christian for 30 years, but no one's ever really discipled them, I think this is a great tool to be able to get that comprehensive establishment that says, hey, there are some things that no one's ever practically walked them through. What does it look like to follow Jesus with your whole being and every part of your life? Because some people, let's face it, they became a Christian and then they just joined a Sunday school class that was in the middle of the book of Revelation. And it was like, well, that probably wasn't the most helpful orientation to the whole Christian life, as helpful as Revelation is.
Yeah, that's great.
How did you just in patterning the structure, which the book structured into the main study is 12 sessions, and there's some additional sessions, which I want to talk about in just a moment too, but you've got it broken up into 4 units. Can you just speak a little bit about that progression? It does address the whole life. It's not just the spiritual life, but there's also some aspects of your body and the physical nature of just living that it addresses as well. Can you just speak into that a little bit more about that structure and kind of your development of that?
Yeah, I'm glad to. And I'll preface it by saying the way we define discipleship in this material is it's a personal love relationship with Jesus that results in a lifelong journey of obedience. So that relationship is key. And so the 4 sections are around the theme of relationship. So the first section is your relationship with God. And each of these sections have 3 lessons. And so that includes, for example, time in God's word, a week on prayer. And then the second section is your relationship with your inner self. So it looks at your spirit, the Holy Spirit, your soul. And then the third section that goes to your relationship with others. And that has some real practical things on interpersonal conflict, boundaries, communication, and then Christ-centered community. And then the last section is your relationship with the world. So it looks at what is God's mission? How do we get involved in God's mission? How do we grow as witnesses? And what is the task remaining as we look ahead? Because while this is a short process, intentionally simple so that anyone can on-ramp here, we ultimately want people to be going at a higher speed on the highway of following Jesus and can be able to say, there's a clear path that for the rest of my life, I want to grow as a disciple and make disciples.
Before I forget to ask, how could people look into the literature, order it, order it for groups or a church group or a Sunday school or a small group?
Yeah, I would direct them to lifeway.com/masterlife. So yep. That's the easiest place. It's also available on Amazon as well and several other places.
Okay. And they could order the quantity they might need for their small group or church size. Okay. Yeah. Doug, you had another question along the lines of the discipleship. We had talked about the 4 areas. Go ahead.
Well, there's also some additional sessions at the end if you want to continue the study, if you go more than 12 weeks. And I think they're a little more experience-driven. And I wanted to see if, Matt, if you would speak a little bit more into those bonus sessions at the end of the book.
Yeah, so that's something that is similar to what my granddad had done with Master Life. So after each 6 weeks, there was an experiential session, and we borrowed 3 of those, and then we've also added 1 in. So one is a prayer retreat where you come together as a group, but then you break up and for an hour or more, just have your own alone time with the Lord in prayer. And we've given tools along the way, like here's a prayer notebook, here are things that you can use that enhance your prayer life. And people get a little nervous going into that. They're like, what am I going to pray for a whole hour? I've never spent that much time in uninterrupted prayer, just me and God. And when they come back as a group and debrief it, they're like, that was so great. I mean, it went faster than I thought it would. And I want to do that again on a monthly basis, you know, something like that. One of the other weeks is practice sharing the gospel. And so while we have a week on being his witness, This time we just get more reps in, like in a weight room, and you're just practicing again and again your testimony and how to share the gospel using the three circles tool. But the bonus session that we added that wasn't in the original Master Life material was actually go out and share the gospel. So that comes the week after that and says, this is great. We've practiced it with each other. Now let's go share it. We may have some people we're already in a relationship with that we want to share this with who are lost. If not, we can go prayer walking in our community and see who the Lord may lead us to share our testimony and the things we've been practicing. One of the other sessions is spiritual gifts that my granddad had. And then at the end, we have just a final commissioning and a dinner and fellowship together.
What do you feel like in your life, Matt, with this whole Master Life curriculum? What has borne fruit for you? What was something that just really deepened your walk with the Lord and it was just so essential?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, for me personally, I mean, it always comes into being rooted in God's word. And so there are things, even as I'm leading a group, going through my own material that I've written along with my wife, it's kind of funny to be going through that and answering my own questions that I wrote. But doing that with an open word and just praying that the Holy Spirit would guide me, there are just real practical things that come out of that that I'm able to hold on, because we do write a lot of things down in this workbook, in our own journal. And so there are things where I'm saying, wow, this is really a clear thing that the Lord spoke, very practical to me, whether that be about a certain relationship with someone or about money or anything, any number of things. It just really is, has been helpful for me, but then also really encouraging to see the practical difference it makes in other people's lives. We had our group meet last night, and one of the ladies in the group said, going through this material really shows me that I want to volunteer more. I want to serve in some ministry that we have in our community, you know, and then seeing other people go on and make disciples. Some of them have left their jobs and gone on to vocational ministry because they just felt God was leading them through that, through this material. So that's been great.
Wow. That's awesome.
You talked about having folks in groups. What have been some, maybe some strategies that you could share or some tips for launching out of those groups and launching into new groups or having people start, you know, from your group and having their own group start from there?
Yeah, so you could go into a new group or an existing group. An existing group, you already have the structure built in there, but it may create a culture shift that some people aren't ready for. And so that's just kind of a little caveat and a caution there. If you have a large Sunday school class or whatever you call it, and it has 25 people in it, I think you could go to this material, but you need to just create the expectation management on the front end that this is going to look a little different and that we need to break this up into two or three smaller groups so that everyone has the ability to speak into the process, answering questions when we're in group time. But if it's for a new group, which is what we typically do, we do ours on Sunday nights. We look for a couple of different people. One, we look for new believers. So I got to baptize one of the new believers in our current group just a couple of weeks ago, which was great to do that. We also look for people who could be great leaders in the future. And so there are people who we've asked to be a part of this, and they're going to South Asia to train Christian leaders in Master Life together, which is a really exciting part for us with our international heart, that it's being translated into other languages, or people who are leading groups in our community as well.
That's awesome. Boy, we could talk for a long time and dive into discipleship, and we're coming to the end of our time here, Matt, but anything else you'd want people to know if there's a pastor listening out there or a church staff member, a lay leader, anything else you'd want them to know about this resource as they're thinking about stepping into it and trying it out?
Yeah, so just a question probably for any leader who is watching this, to just ask the question, who are you discipling and what is your process? And I would just encourage you to give this a try. Try it out once with a few people. That might be two people, that might be 10 people, but try it out. I think there's a lot of pastors who are helping other people do the works of ministry, as we should, but couldn't point to people and name names of the people they're currently discipling and investing into week after week. And so find a time off of Sunday morning that you could be making disciples. Try this out. You don't have much to lose. Try it out for a few months. And my prayer and hope is that this will become one of the multi-pronged approaches that a church finds effective for their strategy of making disciples.
That's awesome. Well, check it out. Go to lifeway.com. Look for Master Life Together. Matt Willis, thank you for taking time with Doug and me today. And it's good to see you. Thank you for your missions and ministries. Just incredible work.
Yeah, thank you, Matt.
Yeah, thank you guys for yours as well. Appreciate the time.
And go to baptistmessenger.com for more podcasts. And Matt, thanks again for being on today.
Yeah, glad to. Thank you.
Blessings.
This Messenger Insight has been brought to you by the Cooperative Program and Oklahoma Baptists. Visit us at baptistmessenger.com or your preferred podcast platform. Oklahoma Baptists, advancing the gospel together.